gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, good luck to us this morning. I'm sleeping off two Lunestas. I've been gang raped by a couple of green butterflies, and I'm a little. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. It's all right. As usual, I'll be popped up by the rude pundit, Eric Bollard from Media Matters, and of course Mondays with Edie McClurg. Yay! And everybody, prop Mama up today.
We have an exciting announcement about Tuesday of next week.
We do?
Guess who returns Tuesday of next week?
Charlie Pierce.
That's right.
The breaking news. Charlie, because there's been so much scuttlebutt on the interwebs.
I know. And I hate
about whether we had a falling out or whatever.
And I hate not being able to talk about it. But it was on his side that he requested that we not
talk about it.
Right. But now he can return and
just, let's make some good stuff up.
Oh boy.
Yes. It was a torrid affair. And it was awkward for a while when we stopped sleeping together. All right. I could just make up anything.
Yeah.
Just make something up.
Yeah.
People just think everything they read on the internet's true anyway, so that's what it was. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hey, can I have some fancy Hollywood music? I did fancy Hollywood stuff again yesterday.
Great.
I am not used to being out with people.
In more ways than one.
My friend actually dragged me to a department store. I had to shop on Friday, and I'm like a mole. I'm like, I'm not used to being out shopping with people and stuff. I needed a dress or something. It was a fancy thing.
You went to a department store?
I did.
I can't picture you at a department store,
honestly.
It was
a sale. It's really, I don't understand how normal people deal with sales and stores and people. It's terrifying.
You went to
Penny's? To an elderly shut-in like me.
You went to Penny's?
No.
What?
I got a lovely dress that was entirely too tight. I looked like a Jimmy Dean stuffed sausage last night, but it was a good time was had by all.
Okay.
No, we have to thank everybody that came out. It was amazing for the Trevor Project.
Yeah,
that really is doing the Lord's work. The 24-hour suicide hotline for gay and lesbian kids, and it was sold out. They had to turn people away. They raised a ton of money, and
great.
It was an amazing show. It was a where do I start? Kathy Griffin, who we are still begging to come on the show, who she's donating all the proceeds from her December shows here in L.A. to the Trevor Project. So I once again read into her, and she once again said she'll come on the show. So we'll once again call and get blown off, but I'm going to keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
She was hilarious, as you can imagine.
Ooh, what do you mean you're going to keep trying? No, we're going to keep trying.
Yes, I mean that I'll yell at you.
Exactly.
When it doesn't happen. Jane Lynch presented the award to her. Of course, Jane Lynch, hilarious as usual, presented the award to Kathy Griffin. Where do I even start? Who else performed? Queen Latifah performed. It was awesome. It was Katy Perry. She just showed up. She wasn't even announced. I was like, what? That's Kate.
Did things shoot out of her boobs?
Katy Perry?
Yeah, because every video that she's released for this album, something shoots out of her boobs.
Like, really?
Yeah, for California Girls, she was shooting whipped cream out of her boobs.
Now I feel cheated.
Yeah.
I paid a full price ticket, and nothing shot out of Katy Perry's boobs.
And fireworks shoot out of her boobs in
now
her
I'm
latest
mad.
Video? Seriously.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Who else? Okay, the cast of Glee performed.
Great.
The Idina Menzel.
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 Yes.
She won the Tonys for Rent.
Wicked.
And Wicked.
Right.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She and her husband, Ty Diggs, did a duet. Tay Diggs. Tay Inouye. Chikapa is the real pronunciation of his name.
Okay, yeah.
Tay. I am so out of it. I did not get any sleep. Anyway, what else? So, yes, they did Seasons of Love from mm-hmm. Rent.
Yep.
It was just fabulous. I'm overstimulated now. I don't usually do anything or leave my house, and I'm overstimulated.
You don't even know how to pronounce Tay Diggs' name.
I can't even keep track of all the people. There was David Arquette and Dave Navarro. There was just, it was like the Oscars, for God's sakes. It was like stars.
Pretty much anyone who's done one of those It Gets Better videos was there.
Yes, okay. Dan Savage was there.
Was he?
Yes. Okay. So that was, I can't remember anything else. I'm asleep still.
Who was at your table? Anybody fancy?
Not that I can remember.
Oh.
I was drunk.
Drunk. Mm-hmm. Of course.
I was, what's the word? All right. So anyway, yeah, no, but it was very touching. And there was a mom and her son came on stage, and that was like a cry time because they saved his life. He was about to kill himself, and he got a Trevor counselor. And anyway, his mom's very supportive, turned his life around. All right. Except for the people last night, I hate everyone. That's the theme of today's show.
Why is that?
Well, it's the dichotomy of being there with people like that that are moving things forward, and then watching John McCain and these regressives that don't ask, don't tell. Who knows what's going to happen with that, right? The White House says it's not that it is still alive, overturning don't ask, don't tell. It just, but you look at what happened on the tax cuts, and it just, I want to go crawl in a hole. I want to crawl in a holiday hole and not come out. I want to just go celebrate Christmas Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and take a vacation from politics entirely.
It's okay if you're Muslim, a Christian, or what?
Exactly.
It's okay if you're agnostic and you don't know what to do. An all-inclusive celebration with ignoble lubrication. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa to you.
And we too. All right, thank you. That, now I feel better.
Okay.
Because after all, it is the Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa season. We are probably going to get the plaintiffs in the Prop 8 case on. That starts today. I'm happy clappy, so I'm going to try to be hopeful about what happens in the court system. Attorneys for both sides of the same-sex marriage debate will face off in appeals court starting today.
Yep.
As a panel of judges hears arguments in the case over Proposition 8. So, I met all the plaintiffs in the case.
In New York.
So I know Perry of Perry versus Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Thank you. Anyway, but I was reading a great story in the LA Times. We'll get to all this later. But that you just, I didn't even know the history of it. Did you know that California was the first state that overturned, you know, that made I can't speak this morning. Why am I even here? you know. Come on, help me.
I'm trying, but I don't know what you're trying to say. Good God, woman.
I'm like, I know what this is verbally. Have you ever been, like, roller skating or ice skating? And,
yeah.
Like, all these random kids are falling and they grab you. Doesn't matter if you're their
right.
parent. You're just an adult.
Yeah.
That's me this morning. I'm just...
What, you think I'm an adult?
Just... They're like little spider monkeys on wheels. They just grab any adult if they're falling.
Yes.
That's me. I am falling verbally, and you will not help me.
Well, I'm...
Help me!
They're...
Interracial marriage. Come on. How hard is this?
How was I supposed to know that's what you were going for?
Okay, my point is, and I'll get the exact dates and everything, but California was the first state, and again, when you talk about polling, a huge percentage of people were against interracial marriage,
right.
both in California and nationally, and it wasn't because the people wanted it, but the courts said this is unconstitutional, and it led to a string of... Thank you. Of it being overturned. See?
What?
Something. You know what? It's like I dove in a big pile, and I got something. I got, there was a pony in the bottom of that. There was a good point.
Or a piece of corn.
Wow. This show is not going to the Smithsonian. When did I eat corn? Anyway, look at the pony! What I'm saying is that it did lead to interracial marriage in being overturned. So I'm just saying, we are on the march. It feels like we're on the march. That's why it's just so stunning to watch these asshats debate don't ask, don't tell. It's just, you're like, what century are we living in?
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's just, that's what that, and that's exactly what Robert Gates' point is, that is very well taken, is, listen up, Grampy McSame, this is going to be overturned by a court. It is unconstitutional to discriminate against any American, and then the military is going to be forced to do it tomorrow, instead of the way they want to do it.
That drives people like John McCain crazy, because then they can call people activist judges.
Yes. What the hell happened with tax cuts? So, here's... I'm just in a mood. This is the audio version of, like, watching a car wreck, isn't it, this morning? I'm just... All right. The Senate held two separate votes on the Bush tax cuts,
right.
but ultimately failed to extend any of the cuts that will be expiring at the end of the year. They stayed in session over the weekend.
That's right. And they complained about it, too.
Oh, shut up.
We're here on
losers.
A Saturday,
whiny...
for Dog and Pony Show.
Bastards. Mm-hmm. The first piece of legislation which would have extended the Bush tax cuts for everyone making less than $250,000 a year was defeated,
right.
53-36.
Even though it passed in the House.
Yes. Falling seven votes shy of the 60 necessary to invoke cloture. So, Joe, here's what I don't get. So, conservatives, right, like Joe Manchin, Ben Nelson, mm-hmm. Jim Webb, Joe Lieberman, join the Republicans in voting no.
Mm-hmm.
What, Russ Feingold? Why did Russ Feingold vote no?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't. Can I just say this is no time to stand on a principle of any kind? It's time to get something done for the American people.
Yeah, people are hurting.
11 senators, all Republicans, did not vote. I guess they were having, it was a little hissy fit, little
yes.
legislative spinning on their back in the Walmart parking lot.
Yes, they were.
Yes, it was too ridiculous for them to even, yes.
To even come in on a Saturday.
To show up, yes.
I got to work on a Saturday? Why no,
Why?
Sir?
I never. 11 senators, all Republicans, did not vote on that one. The second bill then would have extended the, this is the one that makes my head explode. The second bill would have extended the tax cuts for everyone making less than $1 million.
Yes.
That was also defeated.
Yes.
53-37.
Yes.
So, I mean, literally, I have a friend that's like, you know, I really think they ought to raise it to 500. And I'm like, and that was Jan Schakowsky's compromise.
That's
Schumer floated $1 million. It's like, the Republicans didn't even vote for that.
No.
They need more than $1 million, really.
Their principle,
you don't
is
think
that
anybody in this country that makes $1 million, that's not rich, really. That doesn't fall, I mean, seriously. What's the average income in America? 40-something,
40
whatever.
40,000, yes.
Let's say.
Sure.
We probably should have prepared for this discussion. However, my point is,
didn't know you were going to ask me.
You know, but seriously, who making $250,000, that's not rich? That's rich.
That's rich. Yes.
I mean, 500 is a million, but $1 million. This doesn't this show you exactly who Republicans are? $1 million.
Right.
They're not going to go for even that. So now we're talking about a temporary extension of all of them. How did we get here?
A temporary extension on all of them in order to get an extension of unemployment benefits.
Why are we negotiating exactly?
Why exactly.
Oh, it's or for the START treaty? I mean, it's just, it's like, why are though? How did our bargaining position become, those are liberal tchotchkes now? Something that Reagan would have,
Democrats have shown their weakness. I'm sorry. Democrats have shown their weakness. They have been put on the defensive.
How did we get,
again.
All right. The 18 minutes
and
after.
That pisses me off.
All right. Me
okay.
too. Me too.
Well, good.
I'm going back in my pilot for my pony. 18 minutes after
the
hour.
Good luck finding one in there.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to have to wait. 24 minutes to the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Once again, the discussion during commercial break.
Yeah.
Even more wildly entertaining than what's on the air here.
Sure.
Because continuing my little rant about it. I'm like, what? How did we get to this already on tax cuts? And you said because it's easier to be a Republican. There's no nuance. It's black and white. They're just bastards.
Right. They're saying
we're not poor people at Christmas.
Yeah, they're saying we're not going to compromise, you know, unless it's going to be tax cuts for everyone or nothing. And that's easy to explain.
Yes, a compromise to me would have been, okay,
right.
$500,000 and less.
Right.
That's a compromise.
Right. But
see,
that's
nuance. But they won't even vote for $1 million and less.
That's nuance.
And you said it's easier to be Republicans. I said, all right, let's do it and get 400 more stations.
That's right.
And you said, you want to make what Snurley makes. And I'm like, I want to make what Rush makes.
Exactly.
Fine. Let's just be bastard people. Yes.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people. Because you're bastard people.
You go. All of you eat eye sockets and whole cat food for Christmas. All y'all jobless losers. No, it's not working. I'm trying it out. I'm trying out my new right wing.
No. Yeah, no.
Come on. Let's try it. Let's just call stations and see if it'll work. Stephanie's had a magical conversion to her Republican roots. She's realized, and this is Lee, by the end of the day, how many? If I have 400 more stations, we will prove our point.
Do you honestly think we could get Jim to go along with this?
Sure!
What?
He wants money.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. How can we be losing? First of all, how can we have lost the midterms, and how can we be losing the fight on things that the American people want? That's the thing that's whether it's the tax cuts for the rich, don't ask, don't tell. I'm like, how can Democrats be? We are. How much more of a percentage of the American people can be for something? I mean, if anyone, I understand that the Republican obstructionism. I mean, Chris, you tell me then, how are we going to get the tax cut when Republican? We can't even get them to vote for a compromise up to $1 million. We want now the bar has been raised to $1 million and less.
It's not going to happen.
And I'm like, what? So, I mean, but they truly then are fighting for billionaires.
They really are. They really are.
And it couldn't be clearer. And so I'm like, why? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Why do we even bother trying to compromise with these people? And so, I mean, they're by the way, the people that put these tax cuts in place, like Andy Card, whatever, they're already gloating over this. That's exactly how they knew this would all play out.
They set a trap. They knew they were setting a trap 10 years ago.
These Democrats look like they're raising taxes if they ever tried it. This was never a temporary frigging tax cut. This was always meant to be permanent, and so now we're going to go, oh yeah, all right, well, we'll just temporarily expend, and then the same fight's going to happen in 2 or 3 years if we extend them. Dale in Tucson. I may not make it through today's show.
Oh, boy.
Dale in Tucson, I'm going to have a brain related event. Hello, Dale.
Hello, Mama. How are we?
Hi.
I'm calling up from the state of Arizona where we have the two insane Kyle and McCain.
Yes.
I still don't understand the positioning of the don't ask, don't tell. They go down to the border to do inspections, and here we have federal agents down there, Border Patrol, Customs, law enforcement. Do you think it really matters to them when they go into a restaurant who waits on them, or they go into a doctor or an operating room to be taken care of who had sex with who?
Yeah, I know. I know.
It just doesn't make sense anymore.
I know. Well, and now, I mean, we're at the point, Dale, where McCain is sort of saying, well, you know, it looks like there's a good chance now maybe the SALT treaty, maybe by the end of the year. It's like, how did we get this is something we have to negotiate for, Dale, when this is something that, frankly, it would be too conservative for Reagan, who wanted zero nukes in the world.
None of it makes any sense anymore other than he needs more Geritol, I guess.
Yes, exactly. I'm not sure if that will do it for Grampy.
The chat room at Ustream is wondering where you left your rose-colored glasses because you seem to have lost them.
I lost them in a drunken stumble last night.
Okay,
as usual.
Then.
all right. Let me get to this real quick when we get up Rude Pundit. But CBS News poll finds only 46% of Republicans support the Republican stand on extending Bush tax cuts for the rich. Does anyone ever ask them that in the liberal mainstream media? Why are you something the American people? Why are you trying to get something done that the American people are explicitly against? They have explicitly in poll after poll said they are not for.
Because,
extending the tax cuts
because
to the
these Republican
Americans.
Politicians are bought and paid for by huge corporations.
Okay, we'll get to the actual. Not that it matters, but in the actual poll about what actual Americans want and you know
whatever
stuff like that. And the Rude Pundit, who is also on a tear.
Yes.
This morning, right now on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, I need a drink. Come on.
Stephanie Miller.
I'll buy you an eggnog.
Yeah.
No
cream
eggnog?
Drinks. Ugh, ever since, you know, I threw up that grasshopper on the 405 when I was at USC.
Duh.
Oh, sorry. That was a flashback.
One should not binge on creme de menthe.
One should not throw up while in a moving car on the 405. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, that was a weird flashback. All right, it's Monday. Let's get ruder. Even ruder.
Rude Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie. Wow, you are in a mood.
I'm in a mood. I'm in a state.
You are.
So are you, according to your tweets. About, seriously, after watching the Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearings and then this tax cut stuff this weekend, it's just, ugh.
Isn't that what we're left with? We're just sitting here sputtering. We're just like,
yeah. I mean, I they just literally, I mean, the thing is, we joke, but I yes, if I wanted to get a lot richer, I could just become Republican immediately, but they really are just soulless bastards. I don't know what else to say. I don't recognize this Republican Party, and it is largely their fault, but you know, will you tell me your take on what the Democrats could do? The problem is, what do you do, Rude, when you have a Senate vote where a compromise to them isn't even people making $1 million and less? That's not enough for them.
You know, at this point, it's like watching a dance between Fred Astaire and Elaine on Seinfeld. You know, Republicans are so good at this. They've practiced it so well in degrading and intimidating the Democrats. They got them to hold off on this vote since before the election, when Democrats were first talking about having a vote, and then they cowered and ran back to their corners and didn't vote on something because they thought it would hurt them in the midterms.
I mean, I got to tell you, I've never so wished my dad were alive, you know, who, as you know, ran with Goldwater. I don't know how you can function in politics these days. It's not only, like I say, not my dad and Goldwater's Republicans. These are not Reagan's Republicans. This START treaty, Rude, is, it's too conservative for Reagan. Like, and we're trading it as some kind of liberal tchotchke to get something, you know, not getting nuclear, you know, annihilation around the world is apparently some sort of liberal wish list thing.
Well, and even, you know, like Richard Lugar came out this weekend and said that Obama did reach out to Republicans, and that Republicans can't just be the party of no all the time.
Right. But that's what I'm saying, and I know I get called an Obama apologist every day, what would you do? What would he do if you were in his shoes and you're dealing with these Republicans today?
I would let the tax cuts expire. I would call their bluff and let all of them expire. And yes, right now it seems like that if that happens, that unemployment benefits won't be extended. But I think if you make clear that you're going to veto anything over the tax cuts for income up to $250,000, then you've actually finally drawn a line, and that's one thing that Obama hasn't done. He hasn't said,
we are dragged down by our soul. That's the problem. Having some sort of sense of decency and soul is a liability in politics today. If you actually care about the millions of people that are going to be unemployed and lose their benefits right before Christmas in the worst recession in generations, right?
And then
you're right. Then you lose politically.
And you know, I don't even trust Republicans who say that they're going to pass all these things after tax cuts are taken care of. Do you really trust them on this? Do you really trust them?
Well, let's play this out, because maybe I'm not, you know, there's so many ins and outs, obviously, of the, so we let all the tax cuts expire, right? So now we come back in January and we've got a Republican House, right, that's going to pass tax cuts for the rich. Now we have a strengthened Republican Senate. They could likely pass it, too. Then what happens? Does it go to the president?
Then the president vetoes it.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. He still has the power of the veto, right?
Right. And he can say simply, the American people voted for him on his promise that he would not raise taxes.
If I were him, I'd have a press conference today, and I would talk about these latest poll numbers. You said you won this election listening to the American people. Here's what they want. Here's what I'm doing. He needs to watch the American president. He needs to give that speech.
Oh, he needs to watch his own campaign speeches.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
He needs to see exactly what he said, and that was one of the things. I mean, I went on Nexus today just to see. I got so many thousands and thousands of hits about Obama promising to hold tax, to get rid of the tax cuts above $250,000. I mean, it was one of the central themes of his campaign.
Right. Well, but what I'm saying is a compromise is Schakowsky's. It's $500,000 then. It's like, you know, if you have to compromise to get all this done now, but it's like they... You know what I'm saying?
No compromise. They're not going. The compromise is these things that you want. I mean, is he even going to get "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" as part of any compromise? At least. Okay, if at the end
yeah,
of the day,
and again, that has to be that's a liberal tchotchke overturning "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," which 70% of the American people, of active duty soldiers, of the military, of Republicans, think should be overturned.
Yep. The only people that are even have a plurality opposed to it is evangelicals, and even there's even a large number of evangelicals that don't have a problem with this. You know, if nothing else, if at the end of the day this fight is going to be lost, at least I say screw it, extend it for 3 years so that it puts it past the next presidential election, and it takes it out of the equation. And I also say start calling it the Obama tax cuts,
yep.
Because the Bush tax cuts expire. And any new tax cuts will be ones that are signed by Obama.
Mm-hmm. Can I have some zippy campaign music? I like your idea for ads, which, I think is simple, true. Number one, Republicans want billionaires to be richer. We want poor people to be able to eat. Republicans want billionaires to be richer. We want firefighters and police officers to be able to get fair pay. Republicans want billionaires to be richer. We want all Americans to be able to openly serve in the military. Republicans want billionaires to be richer. We want all Americans to be able to, we want men and women, to make the same wage for the same work. Republicans want billionaires to be richer. We want to make the nation safe from nuclear weapons. Done, right? What do Republicans? That's all they want, yeah, is to make billionaires richer.
And this is something that he could be out there and be hammering them on just constantly so that they are starting to get heat from their own districts. But for some reason, when he came out of that meeting and last week and said, you know, I guess I really haven't worked hard enough with them, and I should really try better. It was like watching Tiger Woods. You want to make a blatant comparison? It was like Tiger Woods apologizing for being rich and banging supermodels.
It seemed like the one thing they could agree on is the Republicans are like, yes, we agree that you haven't reached out enough, and we were glad that he said that. It was like,
yes.
And
by the way, here's a letter we signed that says we're not going to do anything until the tax cuts are passed.
Yeah. The other thing, and I think you reached the same conclusion that I've begun to reach on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But, of course, you do it in your inimitable, rude way by saying there's some sexual positions you don't understand until they're done to you. And I did not know what a rusty trombone was, and thank you for the explanation. But
can you say that on the air?
In the rusty trumpet. Just
trumpet.
Saying.
Oh, pardon me.
Rusty trombone is something completely
That's
different.
That's totally different?
Yeah.
It's good to know that. Especially if you don't know the safe word.
Well, there's probably equipment involved.
Yes. Ugh. But anyway, your point on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you say the point can't be made enough that who the cares what this polling or this percentage of this degree of the military or whatever. You say all you're seeing is a number, what number of ignorant people who fear the unknown who have lived with enforced homophobia. As the report notes, in 1949, 61% of white soldiers opposed integration of the armed services. You can bet there's still about 10% or more of white soldiers who think the Marines ought to be lily-ass white, probably even more who think that women shouldn't be allowed to serve in combat. Again, who cares? You know what changed the mind of most whites in the military and in society? Just doing it. And, you say, despite how the Pentagon report tries to minimize it, President Harry Truman did issue an executive order in 1948 that integrated the military. And that was, by the way, rude when 7% of the military thought, the military should be integrated.
Right. He put out this report that said this is the policy of the United States. Now, you can take a couple years to figure out how we're going to do this, but this is what we're doing. And the commission that came after that just laid out a way to make the transition easier. So, and then instead we get these hearings of having all of the military, the leaders of the military saying, except for of course, Admiral Roughhead.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you had fun with that last week.
Is that really his name, Admiral Roughhead?
Admiral Roughhead.
No, it is not.
It is not.
The guy from the Navy who was supporting the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was Admiral Roughhead, which I believe was one of my favorite gay porn characters.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay.
Oh dear. Oh God. That's gonna be a theme throughout the entire show.
This is why I could never be a senator because I couldn't even get through one question without. I'm sorry, Admiral Roughhead.
Yes, Admiral Roughhead. Please tell us what you think about gays.
Hi. A point from Dick Army, General Roughhead.
And don't forget Harry Reid getting in on it.
All right. I'm with you, that, and yet, What's sad is that you know this probably will not happen, but I'm with you that I think the president ought to call their bluff, let all the tax cuts expire, and if they can't get Don't Ask, Don't Tell passed, they say, I'm going to change it by executive order. I mean, it's just how else can you...
Right.
And I understand that the argument that, yes, then it can be overturned, that obviously Congress is the way to do it, but if we can't do it now, Ruth, there's not a chance in hell when Republicans are back in control we're going to get it done.
And that's what Gates said. That's what Gates said, is if not now, when? Because if they don't do it, then it's going to happen in the courts, which I thought was kind of ludicrous to say that it's going to be, you know, like all of a sudden this is what's going to happen. I think.
Right.
And because like we haven't been thinking about this for years and years.
Yeah, I mean, Rude, ironically, as I've been saying, you know, obviously the Prop 8 appeal is beginning today out here in California, and it's that's why it's so apropos, isn't it, that people go, oh, you've got to listen to the people, to the people. It's like, what? We've never put minority rights to a vote, or minority rights to a majority vote, and now, by the way, there is majority support for gay marriage, and in California and across the country, that's the thing. It's like none of their arguments make any sense, and you're right, the March of Civil Rights is going to go forward. It always does.
Yep, that's Martin Luther King. The arc of the arc of history is always towards justice.
I'm sorry, we were making really good, important points at this really important tipping point in our nation's history. And Chris wants to know if General Roughhead was a seaman.
Yes, General Roughhead did serve time as a seaman on a battleship.
A rear admiral, perhaps?
I think he's actually more of a top admiral.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for dragging us back down from this important march toward equality in America. The Rude Pundit, therudepundit.blogspot.org. Thank you, sir.
.com.
Love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right. You know, see, what? Just what? When I try to elevate the discussion, you drag me back down again.
Does he have too many
you
teeth?
And your rough head.
Too many teeth?
40. I know how happy I...
What? What?
We do. We need to get some teeth in this
sure.
Law, General Roughhead. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tucker in Minneapolis wants to talk mama off the ledge for a change. Hello, Tucker. Hi, Tucker. Hello.
Hey, Steph, can you hear me now?
Yes,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Hey, I think Rude did a good job talking you off the ledge as well. So
I don't know. He
might
have got me a little further out, actually. Go ahead.
Yeah, I finally now figured out what the difference between that trombone and trumpet is. So thanks, Chris,
yes,
for adding
yes.
that. By
good
the
to
way.
Know.
That clarification
could be,
was very beneficial.
Could be a critical difference.
Anyway, Steph, you
I
know,
bet you. I'm guessing that General Roughhead knows the difference.
Hey,
Admiral yeah. Roughhead.
Admiral, thank you.
Pardon me.
Anyway, Steph, on the tax cuts, I'm totally there with you on the frustration. And on the communications, I think Robert Gibbs, we need to go. I think that we need to, as much as I love watching Rachel every night, I think she needs to take over as the press secretary.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I think she needs to get in there and start pushing
because,
back.
Because, you know, a lot of the people.
Delivering a good message.
Yeah. I mean, Tucker, I just had this conversation yesterday with a friend. You know, a lot of people like Rachel, we could, a lot of it. Examples, they would not do as well, obviously, under these tax cuts. You know what I'm saying? The 250 and lower. It's just that's the difference. We really, I think, are weighed down in politics by having some sort of soul or sense of we or decency, you know, that it's better for the collective. And that's not socialism. It's just thinking rich people should pay their fair share.
Yeah, and Stephanie, I'm a recovering moderate Republican. And what I learned from this last election, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, is you got to pick a side. You just have to pick a side no matter what it is.
No,
where we are right now.
My dad was a Republican. He served with, you know, Eisenhower was a friend of his. Tax rates were what then, Tucker? 90, 70%?
That
I mean,
high,
my
yeah.
dad, oh, yeah. if you told my dad now the tax rates they're arguing over for, and I'm sorry, I know that the cost of living is higher in this place or that place, but Tucker, what somebody's making $250,000? Really? That's not considered rich?
When I made my conversion was when I figured out how much I was making in my household, which put me in the top 10% of earners in this country.
Right.
And yet I'm still way under $250,000 still today. And I live a very comfortable lifestyle.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying to the president, Mr. President, and I sent him an email with this yesterday. I pledge to adopt two unemployed people in my area. I will offer them job training and I will support them no matter whatever their unemployment benefit was going to be for the month of December and the month of January. I'll take care of it on my own dime. I'm not making $250,000. You don't have to stand up and take this crap from the Republicans. I'm back there. I'm supporting you. I'm going to chip in. That's what we all got to do.
Yep.
That's what we got to stand up and pick a side.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, we can't, you know, the president is dealing with terrorists. Look at what we're doing to take on a couple of hundred Al-Qaeda in these countries. You know, that's how we've got to think about the Republicans. They are willing to blow up the entire economy. They want to destroy this presidency. So all the infighting between the gays and the unions and everyone else doesn't help out. Get up, stand up, help out your neighbor. Let's move this country forward.
Yeah, all right, honey. Yeah, yay, Tucker for president. Get up, stand up for your rights. Okay, let's go. Paula in Redding, California. Hey, Paula, welcome.
Hi, Steph. How are you? Two things. One, we have lost jobs since we've gotten a Republican Congress.
Yeah.
Well, officially, the Republicans haven't taken control of Congress
doesn't
yet.
Doesn't matter. We're so afraid we've lost jobs.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
But since we've known, we've lost jobs. The other thing is, I'm a veteran. I would gladly give my life for this country. I have no problem paying taxes. If you have a problem paying taxes and you're a millionaire, there's a whole bunch of millionaires who would love to come to this country and give 50% of their annual income every year for the privilege to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So please
mm-hmm.
leave. If you can't pay for this, then leave it.
Yeah.
And
That's what I'm saying. A lot of us arguing for this would do better under the Bush tax cuts, but it's not all about you. When you pass 5 years old, you realize that it's not always all about you.
It's about America. And if you let, the way I'm looking at this, you let those tax cuts, those Bush tax cuts, you extend those, I think we should have a week in January where all Democrats, all Republicans who disagree with this become independents.
Yeah.
And then maybe they'll listen.
Yeah. I got to correct one thing. We have not lost jobs. We actually gained jobs last month. It's just we not very many. Like
right.
30,
right.
Whereas, but again, you got to point out, we were losing 700,000 jobs a month when Bush was in office. So we gained, I think, 39,000 or
which
something?
Is
but
next.
Nothing
yeah.
like
but
it, we
yeah.
thought.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I'm just saying technically I had to correct you.
Officially the unemployment rate did go up slightly.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's go to George in Tampa, Florida. Hi, George.
Oh, hey, listen, I like those last two callers in there. It's kind of like along the lines that I've been thinking of. Number one, I'm really embarrassed to be a Democrat these days because I feel like I'm a member of the band playing against the people who are playing football and on the athletic squads. And we're always second best to these guys asking for their approval and having them throw whatever orts they can to us. We have to stop that. We have to stop playing around. And, you know, you say that we got a problem because we have soul. Well, we do have soul, but deep down inside, we could be Republicans, too. We have to understand.
Well, if you play to everybody's worst instincts and to their fear rather than their hope, sure, you can make anybody a Republican, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We choose to see a different picture, and that needs to be a spear and a flag we put into the ground and have no fear rallying around. The other thing is that Tucker guy, what a great idea. I've been thinking of this. everybody who is in that over $250,000 who believes, why don't we just sit there voluntarily, put our money in a trust fund, and sit there and show this is what it's going to be like once Republicans stand down. Just
yep, all right, gotcha. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not really. No, but don't.
Not so much. Six. How about if we change this? It's the end of the world as we know it. No? Too much of a 180? 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free. So,
Admiral Toothy Felicio was a seaman once.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes,
well,
yes.
It makes sense if you can move up
Admiral,
in the ranks,
Admiral,
rise in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Admiral Roughhead.
I've had Roughhead before.
Really?
But she wasn't an admiral. She wasn't an admiral, no. But
all right.
She was fond of uniforms, though, jackboots, that kind of thing. I
John
she
McCain
was,
and Admiral Roughhead, it really is like an SNL sketch, watching this Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's
I
really...
assume she was some sort of reenactress or something.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. It's Monday. You know what that means. Yep, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Come on in, Eric.
Good morning.
You're welcome for that intro, by the way.
You know, I love that you comment on the, well, let's just call them size queens on the right. The they tend to inflate the size of crowds in any right-wing gathering. And so Wilmington, Ohio will be blessed with a Glenn Beck appearance?
Yes, yes. December 15th, he's going to turn that town around. Yeah, it's been hit by a big unemployment, and so he's going to bring his TV and radio show and a live stage show, and he wants all his flock to come spend money in Wilmington, which is a great idea. There's nothing wrong with that. It's
right.
Great.
Right. They're saying maybe his producer said, oh, maybe probably 20,000, up to 20,000 people might show up.
Right, and I just pointed out Glenn does not have, except for, you know, his D.C. rally, which had a nice turnout, and he spent like 9 months hyping it every day.
Right.
When he does these speaking engagements elsewhere, you know, he was in Anchorage with Sarah Palin. These are supposed to be the two big superstars of the right-wing movement. They got
yes.
like 4,000 people. He showed up at the New Jersey Six Flags last month. He had like 700 people show up. So I'm just
you're saying.
I was just, counseling the folks in Wilmington. Don't get your hopes up too high.
Yes. Eric, and I think that I'm sure Fox reported relentlessly on how much bigger the rally to restore sanity was than Glenn Beck's little
rally.
Yes. And then the other thing I love is this, the whole, it is amazing with all of the problems the country is facing that the Republicans, of course, want to be absolutely no help on. And they got this... art exhibit taken down, the Brent Bozell. Yeah, the hide-and-seek exhibit.
This is what really is so important to America, you know, job creation and the deficit and all this stuff. And the right wing went crazy last week because a month after it opened, they discovered that there was a gay-themed art exhibit at at the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery, and they realized that people might actually be seeing gay art by going to an exhibit featuring gay art. So there was this whole sort of cultural meltdown thing. And to me, what was interesting, it was just so, it was very 1994, 1995. This is exactly what Republicans did after the Republican Revolution in 94. And they immediately jumped into these cultural war debates. They're going to defund PBS. They're going to defund, you know, and they're angry about art and things like that. So, I think we're just—it's just another cycle. I mean, we're
going to see the same thing over these
idiotic cultural wars.
Right, and as you point out, of course, the exhibits are privately funded. It's not, the exhibits themselves are not. But I love you say Bozell is calling for congressional hearings to find out who okayed hide and seek and who led the direct assault on Christianity. And in response, you call for congressional hearings to find out why Bozell and his Arts Patrol team missed this whole story for a month. I mean, they subjected Americans to this for a month.
They did. They they were able to see this art for months. It opened at October 30th, and they concocted this dopey thing, like November 30th. I mean, if you're going to be like the arts police, come on, let's get on the ball. Let's not let them slide for a whole month.
And I know it's hard to suss out a Fox News. But as it turns out, Andrew Napolitano is a truther, a 9/11 truther. And they seem to be hiding that fact on Fox News.
Well, they certainly don't talk about it. And if a liberal had talked about what Judge talked about, there would be a posse out after that liberal. I think it's Roger Ailes. I mean, I think clearly the messages come from the top. We are not going to talk about this out in the air. We are not going to hold him accountable the way we would if anyone at MSNBC or anyone at CNN.
Well, and they
the same thing the judge did, yeah.
And they, as you know, Glenn Beck drummed Van Jones out of a job.
That's right.
On the false story that he
petition.
Signed a petition with questions about 9/11. He didn't even sign the 9/11 petition.
You cannot have a position in government if you even are remotely connected to that thought process or that, that feeling, but apparently you can be a host on Fox News, so who knew?
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, gosh, let's start with the stupid. Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends. Okay.
Sarah Palin mania. Sweeping the nation, dozens of people spent the night at this Indiana Walmart.
Dozens.
Just to be the first ones in line for a signed copy of Palin's latest book that's called America by Heart.
Wow.
Palin's next Cincinnati, Ohio.
Is that does that constitute Sarah Palin mania when
dozens.
Literally tens of people?
Tens of people.
Yeah.
Well,
enormous smatterings.
We were talking about the crowd estimates before. I mean, in the old days, they would have just said thousands had shown up, even though there was dozens. So at least they're reporting accurately now.
Well, that's probably an accident. She probably got taken to the woodshed.
Yeah.
You were supposed to say thousands.
But they still are committed to the mania thing, which is polite of them.
It's interesting because a lot of people, I would think by the, was it a 40% drop in the Sarah Palin's Alaska ratings? People forgetting about as sick of her as you and I are.
Yeah, and again, you look at the polling. Every polling is just a train wreck for her. The more people see her, the more they don't like her, and that's usually not a good way to run for president.
Yeah, I think what people were saying is, we like Alaska. Is there any way you can green screen her out of it?
Yeah.
Okay, Glenn back on the radio.
What is National Socialism?
Oh,
it is what Mussolini and Hitler both believed in. It is what the progressives here in America believe in.
No.
National Socialism.
If
you're
only.
An idiot. You're a moron.
If only.
National Socialism. Where do you even start with this guy?
Well,
it's
premised on us just being the stupidest people in the world that have no sense of history, right?
And he would rather burn a book than read one, clearly.
The National Socialists are about to extend tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, apparently.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Jerry Willis, don't know who that is, on Hannity.
Oh, she's a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment benefits don't create jobs. What they do is they're a salve to people who can't find them. And the idea now that we've been doing, extending these tax cuts or these unemployment benefits for so long, the question is, are people staying on them now because it's the easiest thing to do?
Yeah. Living high on the hog in that $300 a week. Yeah.
That has been, we've started to hear a little bit more of that on Fox News. Juan Williams last week was talking about how these are benefits, people get lazy, they stop showering for their job interviews and things like this. It's definitely, if this debate goes on further, I don't know, they might wrap up an agreement on extension benefits. But it's definitely lurking not that far under the surface, which is these lazy bums are pissing me off. I mean, these
people
are just ruining my day get a job, literally.
You hate to inject logic, but Eric, seriously, have you ever known anyone on unemployment whose goal is to stay on unemployment?
It's crazy. There was, I think Megan Kelly on Fox was saying, I have a friend, and she was saying, why should I go get a job at Borders if I can just stay on unemployment?
Wow.
So anecdotally, it's all proven, and unemployment benefits.
Wait a minute. Gretchen Carlson has a friend? All right, let's...
No, Megan Kelly.
Megan Kelly. I'm sorry. All right, Mike Zanian. It's on the Forbes...
Zanian,
on Forbes on Fox.
We knew this Obamacare was a big Ponzi scam when they were going to use 10 years of tax revenue to just pay for 6 years of Obamacare. Everywhere that Obamacare has been tried. It's been really bad for the economy. In
what?
Europe, it really killed job growth.
What?
It's been
what?
Detrimental
no,
to the economy in Massachusetts. The only thing to do with Obamacare to save this economy, David, is to throw the whole thing into the garbage can.
First of all, it wasn't Obamacare that that they have in Europe. I mean, it's, if only Obamacare were as good as what they have in
Jim, you're right. All of Fox News is premised on that no one ever wants to read a book. They don't have it. They just take their word. You don't want to read anything about Europe because it's all
and
European.
Well, and, you know, that's dangerous, actually, because that's exactly what's going on. These people who watch Fox News are getting their only information from Fox News.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Socialized medicine was a disaster because Fox News says it was in France or wherever.
And just the idea of people from Forbes lecturing us about economics and stuff, and these are the people that are all for the tax cuts and don't care about the deficit, and extending the tax cuts is going to add $500 billion to the deficit, but nobody says boo, but they're going to lecture us about health care and what that's done to the deficit. I mean, the hypocrisy is just crazy.
I mean, it hasn't even really kicked in yet, all the way, so-called Obamacare.
Right.
And they're
trying
to blame...
I know. All right. Everything old is new again. It's Newt Gingrich is back.
This administration is so shallow and so amateurish about national security that it is painful and dangerous.
Oh, I see. So they're the ones holding up the START treaty.
Yeah, well also because of that terrorist attack that didn't happen because under the Obama administration, they were able to short-circuit it. But because it didn't happen, he's bad for national security.
Meanwhile, the biggest terrorist attack in our nation's history occurred
under Bush. Which makes him great for national security.
Yeah. Eric, that, I have to say, that still is the most irritating thing to me ever, is this whole, you know, and again, this is what we've been frustrated about this morning, about the Democrats being as good at politics. How has that remained true, that the Bush administration was good on security when we had the worst national security failure in our nation's history?
Oh, yeah, the highlight from the Bush book tour, and when he was parading around Fox News, he was giving all these interviews, and in the same interview, within like a five-minute span, he was talking about going to 9/11 and seeing the debris and just the hellish description of the ground zero. And then, like, two sentences later, they asked him, you know, his greatest achievement. He said, well, protecting the homeland from a terrorist.
Uh-huh. Wow. Except for that one
just
time.
Like, there it is.
Okay, one last one from Newty for you.
I have proposed, since we spent $134 billion last year in unemployment, that we change the entire program into a worker training program and not give anybody money for doing nothing.
We're training them to do what exactly? Go work in China?
Wow.
Call center?
That's the mean streak that wants to come out, and they're trying to hold it back, but it is never far from the surface.
I mean, but do you realize how radical that is? I mean, he's talking about no unemployment insurance anymore, ever, for anybody.
Right.
It's like, what? I mean, it really is stunning. I mean, talk about reading a book and looking at history. I mean, Eric, we have never not extended unemployment with the jobless rate this bad. Not even close. Even if it was down to 7, we extended them.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is why Newt lost his job. I mean, he grabbed power and he started in with all the stuff. Remember the orphanage talk? Remember he attacked orphanages right after he won in 94? So this is what he always talks about, the sort of hatred of, not only the hatred of government, but the hatred of poor people and the hatred of the disadvantaged.
Yep.
And like I said, it's lurking under the surface. It's all the time with the Republicans and Fox News.
Yep, yep. Eric Boehlert for Media Matters for America. Thanks for being such a downer. see you next week, sir.
Talk to you
All right, there he goes.
Great.
How much you want to bet Newt would force people to pay for that retraining?
Yeah.
It'll cost you $1 million, frankly.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Disappointed that the Senate did not pass legislation that had already passed the House of Representatives to make
middle-class tax cuts permanent.
Oh, it's Which unbelievable. Oh, no, it
why
is completely believable.
I'm going to compromise more. I'm going to bend over backwards until the Republicans stop beating me like a Reddit.
Frank Rich has a article that the president has Stockholm syndrome.
Yep.
I am going to break into the White House and hold him hostage and make him watch American President over and over
I'm
and over
sure
again.
I'm sure he's seen it.
Not enough. A CBS News poll released last night finds 53% of Americans want the Bush-era tax cut extended only for households earning less than $250,000 per year. That's so cute and nostalgic what the American people actually want. Another 14.
All those little children. That is so naive.
Another 14% want to expire all of the Bush tax cuts taken together. Two-thirds of Americans, 67%, want to end the Bush tax cuts for the rich. One interesting statistic from the survey indicates the Republicans' push for giving the richest 2% an additional tax cut is not even supported by its own base. Only 10% of Democrats and 1 in 4 independents back the Republican proposal to extend tax cuts for all. Even among Republicans, support for extending all the tax cuts is less than half at 46%.
So why are
Jim,
you going
I
along with
well
again?
Say again.
Why are we going along with this?
Well, here's what I don't. I was saying Chris and I were talking at the beginning of the show about the thing that infuriates me is to me a compromise would be Jan Schakowsky's would be like okay $500,000 if this is going to get everything done by the end of the year. Even the vote on a million failed in the Senate. They can't even get Republican. They want more. Even Chuck Schumer's thing that he floated about a million, that went down to defeat yesterday. So it's
because they can.
Because their position, is easier to explain and adhere to. Their position is nobody's taxes will be raised.
Read my lips.
That's
no
easy to explain and easy to stick to.
Yes, Chris said it's a lot easier to be a Republican, and so we said, Jim, maybe we should be, and we'll get 400 more stations. And he said Jim won't go along with that. I'm like, yes, he will.
Now
he wants to make more money.
The French do need to be bombed.
Upon further reflection.
What was I thinking? Damn socialists.
What was I thinking?
With their free health care.
Their handouts.
What did they ever do for us? Well, except for Lafayette. But then, you know, helping us.
Yeah, Lafayette kind of helped out a lot.
But
and
other
you know
than that,
who's partying? The Bush administration. Bush officials celebrate tax cut trap they laid 9 years ago. As debate rages in Washington over the Bush tax cuts, set to expire at the end of the year, Bush administration officials who initiated the steep cut tax cuts are celebrating what they see as an apparent victory, since signs point to a temporary extension of all the tax cuts. That's the compromise, apparently.
Yippee! Republicans get everything they want.
Dan Bartlett and Andy Card were interviewed by Howard Kurtz. They said, we knew that politically, once you get into law, it becomes almost impossible to remove it. Yeah, they were never meant to be temporary.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad legacy. The fact that we were able to lay the trap does feel pretty good, to tell you the truth.
Wow, they're telling the truth for a change.
Yeah, Andy Card said, Democrats are definitely on the defensive. The fact that the 10-year clock ran out now had a big impact on the election. Kurtz puts it, at some point in the way distant future, Democrats could be accused of raising taxes if they tried to undo the Bush breaks and return to Clinton-era levels of taxation. Senator Kent Conrad told the Washington Post at that time, Bush is going to be out of office when the roof falls in. And that's true. There was a more sinister motive as well. They passed it through reconciliation. That's how they passed it, with a lower vote count in the Senate than otherwise would have been necessary. And it also hid the sunset hids the true cost of the bill as well. So there's your fiscal conservatives. 29 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, this is a lot like the first Christmas. Except we did get a room. None of us are virgins, and instead of the baby Jesus, we have a plate of cheeses.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Frank Rich calls the... when Obama went on TV after the little White House summit, he called it a hostage video.
Yeah.
And then, exactly. I mean... You know, I even get it after these midterms, is having to look. I've said he can't stand up and go screw these holes. Yeah, you know, but it's just, we'll, I mean, Frank Rich him. Points out that, you know, he goes on TV to say, oh, it went very well and we're all going to try to work together. Then they immediately, they send this letter saying we're not doing anything
we
until you pass the tax
President,
cuts for the rich.
President Tanya, which is the name the SLA gave to Patty Hearst.
Again, I understand. He tried. He's like, here, I'm going to do the pay freeze as an olive branch to get some other thing. Well, that's the problem. It's like, at this point, there just can be no pretense that they are going to help on anything of any kind.
We're not going to help with anything of any kind. We're just going to continue to say no until the president rolls up into a ball in the corner.
Exactly.
But that's our goal.
Exactly. I'm just saying, Jim, and I know you think I overused American President, but this is exactly the plot of that, is that he makes deals and conciliates and reaches across the aisle, and then then he's finally had enough. And I'm ready for the president's shaft moment.
Yeah, I'm just sick of the sand, you know, scene. There's so many other scenes in that movie. That I just,
yes.
The sand.
All right.
Drinking the
we
sand.
We won't do that one again.
Thank you.
Okay. Paul Krugman wrote, at the time we passed these Bush tax cuts, the administration, knowing that its tax cut wouldn't fit into any responsible budget, pushed through a bill that contains the things it wanted most, big tax cuts for the very, very rich, and used whatever accounting gimmicks it could find to make the overall budget impact seem smaller than it is. And, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost now, and it's the fact that we're talking about extending them.
Yeah, during a Democratic administration, now the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah, well, the way they planned it. Anyway, many House Republicans now claiming...
Thank you, Jude Wininski.
And then they use just this stupid logic that the richest 2% of Americans desperately need a tax cut because of the bad jobs report.
Yes.
Wait, just Scott.
Because...
We keep hearing this. Eric Cantor said, we must do everything possible to bring that number down and get people back to work by ending the uncertainty that's plaguing the private sector.
Giving billionaires more money. Because that'll
fix
it.
Had uncertainty for the last, whatever this had been, 10 years. They've had these tax cuts and they haven't hired.
Sure they have. In China, in India, in Burkina Faso. And
as the Wonk Room points out, there was no attempt on the part of these Republicans to grapple with the fact that the Bush tax cuts ushered in the weakest period of job growth in the post-war period.
That's a coincidence.
Or that the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan, says extending the Bush tax cuts is the least effective tax measure for promoting economic growth.
Oh, what do they know? Congressional Budget Office.
The president.
With so much at stake, today's votes cannot be the end of the discussion.
No, apparently it's going to be how much further could we bend over? Maybe, how about...
What did you do with your rose-colored glasses?
I misplaced them in a drunken brawl.
Holy crap, you've like changed, done on 180 in one weekend.
I haven't. I'm just, it's just these, it's the Republicans, and I've had enough. And I hope that he has too at some point, because it's just...
Well, it looks like he hasn't.
The president
It looks like he's going
to
continue.
I couldn't have imagined the horror of these Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearings. And the tax cuts. I'm like, what?
Admiral Roughhead saw some horror, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What?
It will require some compromise.
I'm
confident that we can get it done.
Oh, boy.
I just don't understand
how... He's confident he can get compromised.
I don't understand how the compromise became extending them all. Even if they're calling it a temporary extension. Okay. All right. Keith in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, I'm absolutely as pissed as you are about these tax cuts. They're immoral. It should not go on. And I really want Obama to draw a line in the sand, but I'm really grateful that he's smarter than I am. The problem is, it's not a matter of just fighting the Republicans. Of course, the Republicans are wrong. Unfortunately, we have 5 Democrats in the Senate who voted with Republicans.
Thank you. That was the other thing I was saying. It just, you know, this is what annoys me, Jim, is it just, again, I was pointing out earlier, it's like, we can't even count on some Democrats. They keep helping the Republicans do their work, and these Republicans are just not Republicans that my dad or anybody dealt with at any... Like, I was saying, the Stark Treaty is too conservative for Reagan.
Right.
And it's now it's a liberal tchotchke that we have to trade something else for. I mean, it's just... Anyway, his point, Jim, was that the president should draw a line in the sand.
People want leadership, Mr. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty.
Bah, 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 bah,
they drink
the sand because they don't know the difference.
Because they like sand.
Sorry. I couldn't resist. He brought up sand. All right, this is the last time today I'll play it, I swear.
Today? How about ever, please?
Tom from Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I wanted to make two really quick points, if I could.
Yes.
First off, I find it slightly suspicious that everybody in the so-called liberal media, which is actually the corporate media, seems to be getting one thing wrong. It's not a threshold of who is and who is not going to get a tax cut. Everyone is. It's just a tax cut on the first $250.
Yeah, you know what? I was just going to, Tom, someone just sent me this. I think they're making the same point. Bill says, the folks, remember that the Democratic tax plan maintains the existing tax rate on the first $250,000.
Right.
People who make over $250,000 will get the same advantage as people who make less than that. The rich will only pay a higher rate on income over $250,000. Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I find it slightly suspicious that, again, everyone in the media who's reporting on this really is getting it wrong. The so-called, you know, professional left, the right wing, everybody is getting this wrong somehow. And I find that slightly suspicious. Second point is, we keep I find any discussion about anything prioritized over the unemployment benefits expiring kind of offensive, quite frankly. I am employed. However, I was unemployed for 2 years, and my wife is currently unemployed, interviews at least twice a week, and still can't find anything in the medical field, which is one of the only areas that's growing right now in any way, shape, or form. I think we need to go to the banks who got a taxpayer-funded bailout and ask them, based on the fact that they reneged on every one of their agreements and then put foreclosures into high gear with robo-signings, ask them to fund it at a 0% rate going forward for at least a couple of years, just as, you know, a means of holding their feet to the fire for what they reneged on already.
Yep, exactly. You know, Frank Rich points out, Jim, that, I mean, here's the thing is I've, as you know, keep getting called an Obama apologist because I feel like getting health care done was historic. But the problem is we did compromise to get that done and on financial reform. We got it done, and it's better than where we were. But you know, going forward here, if we're not going to get anything, then what's the point of compromising at all? I'm just... Joe Biden stepped in for the president for the radio address because he was in the president was in Afghanistan, and he said, "Together, the economic hit caused by raising taxes on the middle class and denying 2 million Americans unemployment insurance will wind up costing us hundreds of thousands more jobs. It just isn't smart." He said, "I don't agree with the folks who said we can't afford a lifeline for Americans who lost their job during the worst recession in generations, but we can afford to borrow hundreds of billions of dollars to extend tax cuts for the wealthiest 2% of Americans. It's not that's not that's bad economic policy. It's also just simply wrong.
It's also a big effing deal." What?
Exactly.
What?
Nothing.
I say?
I love how President Obama went to Afghanistan and left Vice President Joe Biden here to deal with the awful jobs numbers that came out on Friday.
See ya.
See ya.
Yeah.
Senator Bernie Sanders.
They're demanding that the wealthiest Americans get a tax cut that is 1,000 times the size of the average American.
Yeah, Jim, I was saying earlier, my dad, who, you know, worked with General Eisenhower, was one of his colleagues. We wouldn't believe that
90%.
We're arguing over, yes, that we're arguing over this tax rate.
Tax rate, yeah.
Senator Byron Dorgan.
We're passing a tax cut.
That wasn't Bernie Sanders before either.
No, that was Senator Claire McCaskill.
I thought Terry Jeffries snuck into Congress.
We're passing a tax cut.
Oh, that's Claire McCaskill.
For every person in America.
Yes. Exactly. That's which are less.
Finally, someone is pointing that out.
Yes. Do we have Byron Dorgan, or what happened there? Were you on crack when you did the soundbite?
Apparently, we don't have Byron Dorgan.
Okay. Oh, good. We can skip right to Mitch McChinless.
This Saturday session is a total waste of the American people's time.
Really?
It's always a total waste of American people's time because we're going to say no no matter what. So therefore, it's a waste of American people's time.
Do people get what happened this weekend, Chris? Seriously. That a compromise was offered up to $1 million, and Republicans voted it down.
Not good enough.
Yeah.
Bend over. Bend over further.
How can turtles
squeal
bend over?
Squeal louder.
No, he doesn't bend over.
He's not
president.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. All that was mostly just whining about working on Saturdays, I guess. Chuck
Here
Grassley.
We are on a Saturday.
Oh, my God.
We don't need a dog and pony show going on a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
on any other day of the week, or Friday, or Thursday,
what
or
fair-minded
Wednesday,
person doesn't...
That might be fine, but not on Saturday.
What fair-minded person doesn't think that is a compromise and an effort to solve the problem? Saying, okay, we will raise the cap not to $500 to $1 million.
Also, aren't we talking about the difference between 34 and 39% of the top tax rate? I mean...
Yes.
What?
Yes.
And Charles Grassley is complaining about having to do his job coming in on a Saturday. There are many people who...
Would love to have a job
on
Saturday.
Or
any other day.
Exactly.
Yes.
What a bunch of whiners.
I resent having to show up to work at all on any day. Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Chuck Grassley.
We feel you should not raise taxes on anybody during a recession.
But you know what? That's why they have the
talking point.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that is simple to understand, and it takes only 3 seconds to say.
Yeah, they just dusted off the talking points that they wrote 10 years ago when they passed them. Okay, here's what we told you. You'd be able to say.
And that's why they have the upper hand.
Right.
And also because people in this country are dumb.
Senator John Kyle, Republican, Arizona.
Until the partisan votes have been cast, and then and only then, will people sit down to seriously negotiate how we're going to resolve the issue.
Seriously, negotiating, of course, means you need to bend entirely over. So it almost put your own head up your own ass. That's...
Further.
Serious? No.
Further.
No.
Bend over more.
No.
More.
Mm?
More.
Okay.
Now lick my feet.
Ew, dude.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
They call me her. They call me Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name.
Okay, it's not your name. All right, you get it. It's not your name.
All right.
What is your name?
Stephanie Miller. It is the...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charles in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hi. Well, I tell you, what we should do is call the White House press office. Hey, you bet your Stephanie Miller's name if you want.
Sure.
And let them know that 67% of American people oppose extending these tax cuts.
Yeah.
Once you do it, then the tax cuts will be permanent. And it will be permanently in a deep hole of deficits.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. Now, here's a better tax cut. Give a tax cut to people who have credit card and automobile loans to pay so that the interest rate on those loans are tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. It'll be easier to pay off those loans. You'll have more money to buy other goods and services. That'll be good for business, and you create more jobs.
Uh-huh, yep.
And then investors, they would make money, make more profit off the more successful businesses out there.
Yes. Well, good ideas there.
Computer says no.
No, in Washington. But bad ideas?
Computer says yes.
Like the ones on this, what do you call it, debt panel?
Yeah.
Wow. The debt panel, by the way, fell short on the... his bipartisan... bipartisan. That's the funny part these days. Deficit Commission failed to reach a consensus on a far-reaching, tough medicine deficit-cutting plan, falling 3 votes short of the 14-vote goal that might have pressured congressional leaders to vote on the sweeping bipartisan proposal. I mean, if we can't even get stuff done on the easy stuff, the 70-something percent of the American people want or close to it, how are we? Seriously.
I propose an amendment to the legislation declaring that puppies are cute. No, we're not going to vote for that.
No,
we can't. No.
Only
99% of the American people think that's true, and I don't think that's.
Alan Simpson, who's. Oof. He's a little crypt keepery.
If only he had that kind of energy.
He said Republicans Paul Ryan of Wisconsin and Jeb Hensarling of Texas plan to advocate for 80 to 85% of our plan. He counted that as a big step forward. You want to know little fun facts about what they're up to?
Yeah.
Ryan's so-called roadmap to fiscal reform calls for partial privatization of Social Security. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah.
And conversion of Medicare to a voucher system with reduced benefits.
Great.
Those are the ideas that they like from there.
I think there's room for compromise.
No, there isn't.
That's. What happened to doing something just because it's the right thing to do? Don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask me what's going to happen with this. The White House called a meeting Friday afternoon to assure gay rights advocates there is no deal for President Obama to sidetrack the effort to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We had some Republicans come out and say they will vote for the repeal, right? Scott Brown. Mm-hmm. But don't ask me what's
going to happen. What the Tea Party thinks of that? You know, the Tea Party claimed that he was their first
They elected
victory.
A guy that once wore pink patent leather shorts,
exactly.
For God's sakes. Well, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Don't ask about that.
Yes, don't ask.
Don't ask about
pink leather shorts.
Pink leather shorts.
Mm-hmm. He was a hand model. Hello. All right. Majority Leader Harry Reid ripped into John McCain on Saturday, saying that the Republican has issued a dizzying defense of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He said he's defending an obsolete, embarrassing, discriminatory policy that weakens our military and offends our values. He likened McCain to the Peanuts character Lucy. He said, first, Senator McCain said he would seriously consider repealing it if the military leadership thought we should, and when the military leadership said it should be repealed, he pulled away the football. Then Senator McCain said he would need to see a study from the Pentagon. When the Pentagon produced the study saying repeal would have no negative effect at all, he pulled away the football again. His latest trick, he said yesterday he opposed repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a proposal that would be a great stride forward with both equality and military readiness because of the economy. I missed that one. Is that what he said? Grampy said we can't do it now because of the economy.
Yes, the economy. It's not the policy on this economy.
He keeps changing.
No, I don't.
He said, Reid said, I have no idea what he's talking about. No one else does either. I mean, I don't think he even bothers offering an explanation now. What the hell does the economy have to do with overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Nothing. It means something only to his far-right constituents.
Well, because then there'd be more gays in the workforce if they're not in the military.
And we can't have that.
Even his little buddy Lieberman agreed on CNN that he is moving the goalposts.
He's moving the goalposts. As long as he doesn't do it on a Saturday, I'm fine with it.
And he did it on the Sabbath. He moved the goalposts on a Sabbath, for God's sakes.
Good God. We'll you see. Can't do that.
By the way, I haven't seen this, but apparently Jon Stewart on The Daily Show has observed that McCain keeps moving the goalposts. He compared him to the Black Knight from Monty Python's The Holy Grail.
Never saw that movie.
What? You never saw Holy Grail?
I'm sorry. I'm not a Monty Python fan.
Flesh wound.
As arguments against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell collapse one by one, conservatives have been forced to resort to baseless talking points, changing standards, and condescension toward military leaders. That's the other thing McCain tried. That was nice. It's the wrong, they're not really military leaders.
Condescension
now.
Is the policy.
Apparently.
It is the policy.
Jim DeMint has descended to blatant distortions to maintain their stubborn opposition to repeal. He argued the military's policy should not be changed because the military is telling us now that's not a good idea.
That one made me puke.
It's exactly the opposite of what's true. The military's two top leaders, Gates and Mike Mullen, came up strongly. What is he talking about? The military's telling us not to.
Jim DeMint has too much retsin. I think that's what it is.
All six of the military service chiefs, including Roughhead, said they...
Sorry? What?
I thought that would wake you up. Said they could effectively implement a policy change. The Pentagon
that would wake me up.
Yes. Toothy fellatio?
Yeah.
Sure.
The Pentagon, in fact, is increasingly worried that Congress will not act to repeal the policy by the end of the year, and that the courts will order the change instead, making a smooth transition more difficult to achieve. And has he ever challenged in the liberal media? Excuse me, Senator DeMint, that's exactly the opposite of what's true.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid.
How hard is it to understand this testimony in this study? They're saying exactly the opposite, you moron. Ike in Charleston, South Carolina, real quick. Hey, Ike, go ahead. Hi,
hey,
Ike.
Hey there.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yes.
Cool. While we're exploding this, it just dawned on me last night while I was thinking about this. You know how they always say that government can't create jobs, that only the private sector can?
Right.
Let me ask you something. How many jobs do you think we created with the Americans with Disabilities Act? How many jobs do you think we created with the Clean Air Act, where they had to develop scrubbers for these coal-fired power plants, which I happen to be a beneficiary of because I worked on it?
Yep. Point well taken. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ah, yeah. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. You know, I get so many letters thanking me for things like Carbonite, and I just say thank you. I invented it.
What?
Yes, I did. I invented Carbonite. That's the ticket. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today and enter my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, which I invented. Mm-hmm. Enter offer code Stephanie.
Can I tell you something really cool with Carbonite that I just found out about?
Yes.
Okay, you can get a Carbonite app for your iPhone.
Uh-huh.
And you know how Carbonite automatically backs up all of your files to Carbonite?
Don't I know it after I drop my BlackBerry in a planter every other weekend.
Well, if for some reason you need a file that is on your computer, you can use your iPhone app for Carbonite and download it to your iPhone. And have it on the go. And so that is a really cool thing I found out about Carbonite. I know, right?
Right.
Plus,
Chilly,
you can
right?
freeze Harrison Ford in it.
Yeah.
All right. StephanieMiller.com.
So it is a very valuable service, and I use it, and I love it.
Wow. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Neat.
Mm. You can email us all there. Executive
testimonial.
Producer Crystal Boy. Voice DD Jim Ward or me, Stephanie.
And I actually paid for it. I did. I typed Stephanie in the box.
Thank you.
I paid for it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Jim, it's Monday.
What?
That's the quote. That's the it's tip.
You always
the,
pay for it if you're dealing with Stephanie's socks. But anyway, go ahead. Yes.
The new Congress plan to block any governmental intervention on behalf of 15 million plus jobless Americans guarantees that the unemployment rate back up to 9.8% as of Friday will remain intractable too. Who said that?
Dr. Frankenfurter.
No, Frank Rich.
Ah.
In a new column entitled "All the President's Captors" about how the president appears to have Stockholm syndrome.
Hmm.
We need to get Cher to go up there and tell him to snap out of it. That's what we need. Everyone will have...
snap out of it!
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Everyone will have caught on by 2012, but that will be too late for many jobless Americans, let alone for Obama, as the economics commentator Jeff Madrick says. The unemployment rate has been above 7% only four times in a presidential election since World War II, and in three of the four, the incumbent lost. Who said that?
Frank Pallone.
No! Frank Rich. All the president's captors. Who said there has never been a sitting president over that period who has had to run with an unemployment rate as high as 8%, which is precisely where the Fed's most recent forecast predict the rate could be mired when Obama faces the voters again in 2012. You'd think he'd be one Stockholm Syndrome victim with every incentive to break out. Who said that?
Dr. Frankenstein.
No. Frank Rich! Ah.
Frankenstein? Frankenstein.
I can help you with that hump. What all right.
They were wrong then, weren't they?
All right. By the by...
Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump?
Bob writes, Steph, I don't understand this don't ask, don't tell issue. We keep saying that Congress should change it because an executive order could be changed by the next president. Really? If Obama does it and loses in 2012, after 2 years of the policy being changed and men and women serving openly, the new president will not change something that has no popularity for such a reversal, even in the Republican base.
That's what I was saying.
No way there will be such a change. The only people who care are the few senators who are asshats. This won't even be an issue Republicans would run on in 2012 due to its unpopularity. Obama could actually run on the fact that what he did was right where Congress failed. He should use blah, blah, blah. He should, to use a crazy woman's phrase, man up.
Well,
Bob.
That's what I was saying, because they'll have 2 years of gays serving openly in the military,
and
then it'd be ridiculous to try to fire them all after the fact.
It's a trap like they laid for us with the Bush tax cuts. So once we do it, they're not going to reverse it. 70% of the American people and the military wanted to be.
You know, you'd be weak on defense if you did that.
Democrats are so earnest that we fall into traps way too easily.
Exactly.
Seriously.
What? Oh, Jim, you did it again.
Are you saying we're naive? Really? Oh, okay.
No, come look over here. There's just not twigs and leaves over this.
Oh, I fell for it again. Ow. Oh, she's not going to pull the football away this time, surely. Don't call her Shirley.
But the other thing is, depending on how this plays out, You know, I agree with something that is so politically popular, overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Like, what? Yes, call their bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use it as something to trade. You know, let's see how this plays out. But you would think, if nothing else, Jim, if obviously Republicans do block this, wouldn't he be justified to stand up to the American people and say, look, this is the right thing to do for national security. I'm mm-hmm. the commander in chief. The military is telling us this is the right thing to do for national security. It is going to be overruled by a court, and then we're going to be forced to do it in a way that is not, you know, ideal for the United States military. Therefore, I am doing this by executive order.
Got to get to his inner. Awaken his inner Harry Truman.
Exactly. Well, that's what we keep saying over and over again. But, you know, 7% of the American people, of the troops, thought the military should be integrated
mm-hmm.
when Truman integrated it by military order.
Said, well, screw you. I'm doing it anyway.
Anyway,
executive
I thought
order.
With today, in fact, out here in California, IA, the breaking news, attorneys on both sides of the same-sex marriage debate will face off in appeals court starting today. A panel of judges starts hearing arguments in the case over Prop 8, which, Chris, is perfect timing for this story in the L.A. Times, written by a fine American, which it all dovetails nicely, Jim, in together. Don't ask, don't tell, gay marriage. It's just an interesting article, and it all like goes hand in hand. It's called Marriage and the Court of Public Opinion. Once Americans were overwhelmingly against interracial marriage, court help rulings helped change that. Will it be the same with same-sex marriage? There's the march of civil rights is always the same, and it's just this is a great story. In 1948, the idea of interracial marriage in the U.S. was almost unimaginable. The few polls on this topic at the time showed Americans were nearly unanimous in their disapproval of it. There is little evidence that Californians felt any different. Yet that year saw the legalization of interracial marriage in California. Did you know that? I didn't.
I did not know that.
Not because voters approved it or because legislators supported it, but because California's courts ruled that banning it violated the U.S. Constitution, which is what is going to happen, I think, in the courts eventually on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and on marriage equality. In Perez versus Sharp was the case. Did not know that. The California Supreme Court ushered in a change that feels absolutely normal today, but at the time, the decision was unpopular. Nevertheless, it was soon followed by legal actions in more than a dozen states that ultimately rejected laws prohibiting interracial marriage. Let's hope that we out here in California once again, you know, lead instead of follow on this. Eventually, nearly 20 years later, the U.S. Supreme Court, people don't realize it was 20 years.
Yeah.
After it happened in California, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to bow to public opinion, and its landmark Loving versus Virginia decision invalidated all remaining race-based marriage laws, most of them in southern states. As in California, the ruling preceded public sentiment. Even in 1967, when the court issued its decision, only one-fifth of Americans approved of interracial marriage. Yet public opinion soon changed in large part as a result of the court decision. You see what I'm saying? This is what's happening, right? On Don't Ask, Don't Tell, on gay marriage. It is fitting that the most anticipated present-day court case on marriage equality is again taking place in California. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will be hearing Perry and Schwarzenegger. We'll be having Perry on, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes.
This week.
Yes.
I know all the plaintiffs in Perry. I know Perry of Perry versus Schwartz. Why? Because I'm a name dropper. I don't know Schwarzenegger, but I know Perry.
And you hang out amongst the gays.
Yes. All right.
I used to be a name dropper, but Sting told me to knock it off.
Exactly. All right. In the next few days, the legal battle over the constitutionality of Prop 8, which restricted the definition of marriage to a legally man and a woman, blah, 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 will be revisited. California's narrowly passed this proposition, of course, in 2008. Then a few months ago, a federal judge struck down the ban as unconstitutional. For those of you just that have forgotten the details.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some argue the court should simply follow public opinion, which we never do. Of course, had the courts followed this principle with regard to interracial marriage, it's hard to tell how long it would have taken to remove the, right? About 40% of the voters in South Carolina and Alabama voted this in as late as 1998 and 2000, respectively, to keep bans on interracial marriage in their state constitution,
mm-hmm.
Even though the bans cannot be legally enforced. Opponents of same-sex marriage have warned against equating interracial relationships with same-sex ones. We hear that all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
They argue that any comparison between same-sex and interracial relationships is deceptive. I disagree, says the author of this, Brian Powell, who wrote this piece in the LA Times, and he's done a bunch of these studies. Blah, blah, blah. I disagree. In 2003, 2006, and this year, I conducted interviews of more than 2,000 Americans on their notions of family. The surveys revealed an undeniable similarity between current and past opinions regarding same-sex couples and current and past views about interracial couples.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans who most vehemently oppose same-sex marriage today, Those with lower levels of education, Southerners, the elderly, and the religiously Orthodox fit the profile of Americans who once strongly resisted the legalization of interracial marriage. The justifications now used to renounce same-sex marriage, that it's unnatural, ungodly, that children from such unions will be you know what I'm trying to say.
Irrevocably
harmed. That such marriages degrade real marriage.
Europally?
They are. They're all the exact same objections people used against interracial marriage. The one big difference between views on same-sex marriage and interracial marriage is opposition to same-sex marriage today is much weaker than the overwhelming opposition to interracial marriage several decades ago. Despite claims by opponents of same-sex marriage, the American public is not overwhelmingly against the idea. According to his research team, it is, you know, in every poll, it shows Americans are gravitating toward a more open view of same-sex couples. Some recent poll, including ours, have found approval of same-sex marriage in the U.S. has passed the 50% mark, that it has majority support. And I thought the important thing is in younger people in every state, not just blue states. In other words, regardless of what is decided by the courts about the legality of statutes banning same-sex marriage, Americans have moved and are continuing to move toward accepting it. If same-sex marriage is legalized in California or in the U.S., our research suggests more Americans will be willing to count gay couples as families. Should the courts rule in favor of the legalization of same-sex marriage, it seems more likely that public opinion will quickly follow. Thank you, Brian Powell, Marriage and the Court of Public Opinion, in the L.A. Times yesterday.
We will post a link to that up at your Facebook page.
I think that would be wise.
Yes.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Your sidekicks,
mm-hmm.
They're awesome.
Yes.
Those guys probably could have careers in voiceovers in Hollywood. However, are a hack.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour.
We should probably explain what happened to Edie McClurg.
Edie has called in sick.
That's right.
Yes. We hope her a speedy recovery, and we will see her next Monday, hopefully.
That is correct.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Larry in Lake Elsinore, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi there, Mook.
Hello.
Well, you know, the one thing I want to say about Congress and the president, these people have got their heads so far up that they got to go to proctologists to get psychoanalyzed. Secondly, if brains were bird dung, they'd all have clean cages. But
yeah.
Having said that, you know, I was in radio back in college back in the late 60s and the early 70s, and I at least opened my radio show with Power to the People and closed it with Revolution. And I used to think to myself that there's going to be a revolution even back in those days, and I thought it would be a peaceful-type revolution. But I don't think Washington really understands when the people have got nothing, they've got nothing to lose. And what they're pushing for is they're pushing for a revolution, but it's not going to be the kind that they're going to want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People are going to get so fed up when they've got absolutely nothing left. They're going to figure, what have I got to lose?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. And people make this point all the time, Jim. The Republicans are good at politics. They're not good at governing. I mean, one of the things in Frank Rich's column is that, I can't remember, over the summer before the election, something like, I don't even know what it was, 7% or something of Americans thought deficits are the number one problem. Republicans repeated it and repeated it and repeated it, smaller government. And then on the exit polls, people were like, yes, the deficit is my number one concern. And now
government
they
is
put
too
in
big,
the Republicans, deficit. They're going to add $700 billion to the deficit.
The deficit
on tax cuts
is not
for the
my
rich,
concern.
That the American people don't want.
Right.
I mean, it's just, Newt Gingrich said, the president just suffered a stunning defeat, and yet he's behaving as though nothing has changed. Once again, our perceptions are completely opposite. He's behaving like, as Frank Rich said, he has Stockholm syndrome.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem, is he's, I wish he were behaving as if nothing had changed.
I'm frustrated by
And he's still
by
the president. And it's,
I'm frustrated by him, actually. Sorry.
The president on the jobs.
Despite 11 consecutive months of private sector job growth, despite creating more than 1 million private sector jobs this year, it's not enough.
Well, yeah, again, talking about seizing control of the narrative, we feel like we're saying it till we're blue in the face. We were losing 700,000 jobs a month when Bush was president. Things are getting better, but Frank Rich makes a good point. And don't you think this is true, Jim, that they're not going to let the unemployment rate get any better? So the president's right. A one-term president is what they've said their goal is. So they're not going to start hiring no matter what you do, just like they haven't for the last 10 years
Mike
with these
Malloy
tax cuts.
Said he should call their bluff and say, yeah, I'm not running again.
Yeah,
so.
yeah, exactly. Joe Biden on the job.
But still, there's no denying that that the report is disappointing because we were, quite frankly, hoping for even stronger job growth.
Well, and this is what Frank Rich is saying. With this new Congress in, they're not going to do any further stimulus. Mm-hmm. So there, obviously, it's going to be nearly impossible for the jobless rate to get any better.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the way they want it.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Michelle Bachmann is warning Republican leaders of a rank-and-file mutiny over health care repeal. Suspicious of their repeal and replace mantra, Bachmann has said that there needs to be an insurrection against our own leadership if they cave in or go weak on the knees and fail to deliver a full-scale repudiation, a full-scale repeal.
Or refudiation.
Refudiation, yeah. If as her friend Sarah Palin says. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Jay in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jay.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi, I'm another frustrated and steamed progressive, but I think we're missing an obvious here, and this is that abstract argument that the wealthy create the jobs, so they should have the tax benefits, and I don't see a problem with that as long as one documents every American job they create.
Yes.
That, you know, if you create a job, document it and get a tax bonus. That
would
be lovely.
They can't do that because if they documented them, they would be documenting where in China the job went to. Exactly. So they don't like that sort of pesky kind of record keeping.
No.
Let's go to Bill in Clifton, New Jersey. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to clear up something from the previous caller first about deducting interest. You used to be able to deduct your interest from your credit cards and any personal loan interests up until Ronald Reagan got rid of that because it was a middle-class boon, and he lowered the taxes for the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
So that used to be the...
Well, yeah, and as Warren Buffett said, by the way, speaking of Reagan, I mean, how much more credible do you have to be than Warren Buffett? He's a really, really rich guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, when are the American people going to get it? Rich people are always going to say, oh, no, give us more money, and we'll spend more, and it'll all trickle down. So when are you going to catch on? That's not happening.
They've been falling for it ever since some people voted for Reagan.
Thanks, Steph.
Jan in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey.
Why must he bring up my youthful indiscretions over and over?
Well, why did you vote for Reagan over and over?
Once! Hi, Jan.
I'm just, as an educator here, I'm just wondering how Newt Gingrich thinks that it will be small government to stop paying people unemployment and to train them. I mean, doesn't he realize that if you're going to retrain people, you'll need teachers, you probably need a building to do that in unless you're going to do it in an open field. And then who's going to keep track of whether or not the people attend? And this sort of sounds like the Department of Education, which, of course, they're calling to eradicate.
Yeah.
So I just don't get it.
Well, hello. Well, I'm changing the name of the show. I just don't get it. 29 minutes after
He's
the
lying.
Hour.
What's there to get?
Right back on the I Don't Get It show.
Find their way anywhere in all this dark fog and snow. Nobody, that is, except
Stephanie Miller.
Once more, the happiness of all the world's children depends on you.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
wow.
Boy.
Oh, God.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
And they'll be coming to your house.
Eek. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Anchorage, Alaska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, baby.
Hey, the wealthy are always claiming that they need their tax cuts so that the unemployment rate can go down. So
yes, say, just like it has in the last 10 years when they've had the tax cuts.
Right. Mm. So let's tie them to it and say, okay, you get your tax cut, but if at the end of the year the unemployment rate is not
yes.
at 5% or below,
yep.
then you pay it back with 18% interest.
There you go. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Me like it. Smartest boy in class. Results. Wasn't George Bush a results-oriented businessman? Remember that?
Yeah.
What did he get results when he was a businessman?
Yes, well, he got bad results.
Yeah.
Results.
I lost all kinds of money.
Juanita,
welcome.
And he did the same for America. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Juanita in Cincinnati.
Oh, yes.
About
the court decision.
Oh, yes.
We got to be careful about court decisions because if I'm not mistaken, we got three branches of government. Now, they have equal powers. But if the court oversteps the executive branch or the legislative branch, you know, how are we going to stop that? Just like Citizens United. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We got to be very careful.
Well, you,
we need balance.
Right. The check and balance on the judicial branch is that we can impeach people in the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
okay then.
I wish they would.
She was rearranging
people.
Her highball glasses.
That sounds like it.
As she had that conversation with you. Oh, there's my rye. All right.
I thought she was working in a bowling alley.
Maybe she's a pin setter. We should have asked. Speaking of the Supreme Court, you know, just as we're having this debate about, you know, do Republicans have so are they big bastard people enough to let unemployment benefits run out?
Yes.
Right before Christmas?
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Computer says yes.
Yes, the answer is yes. You are correct, Jim. Yes. Yes. Scalia mocks Sotomayor's compassion. And it just, I just to give you a peek into, since she brought up the Supreme Court, a peek into the Supreme Court. Here are the not so fun facts. One California inmate dies every 8 days from inadequate medical care. This is a big, I told you I have a friend that's a psychologist in a maximum security prison. It is a big problem. I mean, just the entire prison system, by the way. What's her name? Our new Attorney General, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Talking, we have a 70% recidivism rate
mm-hmm.
out here in California. How much worse do you think it's going to get with this unemployment? I mean, it's tough for normal folks to get a job, let alone people with a prison record
right.
to get a job. So where do you think they end up? Back in jail? Anyway, just a hole. Anyway, so it's a lot of problems. So a case is before the Supreme Court right now. Lawsuits stretch back 20 years to remedy these unconstitutional conditions until a federal court finally ordered the state to reduce its prison population. That order is now before the Supreme Court. Against that backdrop, Sonia Sotomayor confronted California's attorney with some more horrific stories from California's unconstitutional prison system and received a mocking response from fellow Justice Antonin Scalia. Justice Sotomayor said, when are you going to avoid or get around people sitting in their feces for days in a dazed state? When are you going to get to a point where you're going to deliver care that is going to be adequate? Justice Scalia pipes in, don't be rhetorical. I mean, seriously, like what, he's lecturing the Puerto Rican maid that happened to slip into
right.
out of the Supreme Court?
God. What a bastard.
Yeah. Just like, oh, was that some sort of empathy or something?
Was that some kind of human emotion?
Empathy is French and gay.
All right. Oh, by the way, we wanted to correct something we were talking about. Not correct, but about unemployment.
Clarify.
Right. It's a, thank you. It's a clarification. So noted. So stipulated. Anyway, we were saying that every time we bring up unemployment, which is so infuriating to me, is I keep saying that's your money.
Mm-hmm.
You paid into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the Republicans to say, oh, no, you lazy bastards. And so I keep getting letters going, that's a lie. Employers pay unemployment. Yes, but they take it out of your check. That's
right.
What unemployment insurance is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's my point. Is the,
and so both are right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you have paid into unemployment. This is what it is for,
mm-hmm.
is when through no fault of your own, you lose your job. And this
mm-hmm.
is, like I say, we've never not extended unemployment benefits, even when it was around 7%. God forbid, nearly 10% to say we're not going to, give you back the money that you've paid in for
right.
just such a calamity. All right. Ram in Reno, Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ram.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
How are you, Mama?
Good. I'm good, baby.
I'm so loving you. I listen to your show regularly. I wanted to talk about what you had mentioned earlier. See, I'm a Native American. I'm a brown-skinned person. I'm married to a Canadian.
Oh, my God! Is that allowed?
No, I know. How scary. But we had to get married in Canada because we can't get married here. The Prop 8, I'm waiting. I want to be I can't even get on his insurance.
Right. Yeah.
Well, my husband is an award-winning physics and chemistry teacher, high school. And we are kind of left on the side, for lack of a better term, because we can't be recognized as persons. We've been together for 25 years.
Well, I'm telling you, the people fighting, don't ask, don't tell, and fighting marriage equality, Rem, they are going to be on the wrong side of history, but it's just a question of how quickly we get there.
Well, it's taking too much of my time. I'm 45 years old. I don't have a lot of life left.
God, man, don't depress me any more than I'm already depressed.
If I'm lucky, I live to be 84. I'm midlife. All I want is a red convertible sports car.
All right, Ram.
Isn't that what we all want?
Exactly.
Well, maybe not red.
And to marry a hot Canadian. Okay, let's go to John in Montana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Oh, God, it's good to talk to you.
You too, baby. Go ahead.
I'm in the red state of Montana, which we have successfully, as a progressives up here, which has really been tough, have two United States senators that are Democrats and a governor.
Yeah.
And it has been great to have in a tough state like red Montana, but Senator Baucus was unfortunately the one that flipped over during the Bush tax cut discussion.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of the tipping point when he compromised and allowed it. And I just wanted to bring people back.
Yeah, as if
he
didn't
learn
his lesson on health care. It's like, dear God.
Unfortunately, I really do think that he took a lot of cues from the president on that. And he was really doing his bidding at many times. And I know he got nailed for it, but I just wanted to say, if we remember back at those times, remember when George Bush kept saying, I just want to give you your money back. It's not our money. It's not our money.
Yeah.
So, okay, in the times of great prosperity.
You got to give him credit. He did a really good job at that.
He did. And in times of
those silly surpluses laying around, he sure did take care of that.
Yeah. He was very efficient. And so I think that what we have to remember is that the Republicans' argument was, during a surplus, we don't want to pay taxes, we want to give it back, and during a recession, they don't want to pay taxes. So there really is no time that they'll ever want to pay taxes.
Thank you. Right. Thanks for paying attention. When's a good time for you? Never. Never, ever. let's go to Tony in Los Angeles. Hey, Tony. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey. Girl, I just called to say how I am really getting a little tired of everybody moaning and groaning about what Obama should do. You know, it kills me. Bush and Cheney killed people, and I will repeat it, people being so whiny. You know what I mean? And my thing is, we never had man's back. If I was me, I wouldn't step out too far on these, because if he does, he's an angry black man. If he doesn't do what everybody says, he's a wimp. You know, and look, the man is damn near white-headed.
I know. Wow.
Do we ever wonder why do every person that comes in office is his white hair when he leaves? Who knows what they're going through? And let's face it, history has shown anybody that really rocks the boat.
I know, but he went from, we elected Denzel Washington, and suddenly he was Morgan Freeman. We were like, what? I've never seen hair turn white that quickly.
It's true. So all I'm saying is all the Democrats grow up hair.
Well, Tony, I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard me, but I was talking about, my dad obviously ran with Goldwater. And there's never been a time that I more wished he was here to talk to about. I honestly don't know what you'd do if you're president today with these present day Republicans.
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know how you operate in this environment and get anything done.
You keep telling the truth and you fight back, you know, because, yeah. I mean, being a black person, I mean, face it, let's face it, America really is having a black experience, okay? We've had double-digit unemployment since slavery, okay?
Yeah.
So the thing about it, when you look at black people, let's just use black folks as an example, because, you know, white people can be kind of mean sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, look at, we looked at slavery. I mean, how impossible of a situation could you be in? You know what I mean? But the thing is, when people really come together one mind and decide to do something and have no fear. See, the thing is fear. That's all Republicans play on, are fears. But if people would stop being afraid and do what you got to do,
well, you know what, Tony,
when you make change.
Frank Rich writes about that this weekend, too, that, you know, during the election, everybody projected their hopes on Obama. Now everybody's projecting their fears on him.
Exactly. The same thing. See what I'm saying? It's the same old game. It hasn't changed in 500 years. And the bottom line is, I think it was Martin Luther King that says, can't nobody, hold you down unless your back is bent. If you stand up, it's over.
Yep.
And that's it. Everybody,
Tony, I agree with everything you said, except the whole thing about white people being mean sometimes. Screw you about that.
Some of y'all kind of mean. Look at the Republicans.
I kid you. All right. Thanks, Tony.
Bye.
So Tony says this country's gone all black.
We're having a black experience. Yes. Like, welcome to it. All right. I'm doing my part for equality, by the way. I am encouraging my dog, Fred. My dog, Fred, is in a homosexual interracial relationship with a black dog. Fred and Maddox.
Okay.
My friend's dog Maddox comes over. They love each other. Okay, 45.
They don't try and do it, do they?
Don't ask, don't tell. 46 minutes
wow.
after the hour. I don't ask what goes on in the backyard. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Been a real bad girl. We can make it better. And tell me, boy, now wouldn't that be sweet?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Fred in Chicago. Hey, Fred, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. I was just wondering why they always associate Obama with the economy. You know, whenever you talk to these right-wing idiots, all you hear is about this fantastic capitalist dynamo we live in. Well, where is it, you know? And the answer is the rich are getting tax breaks.
Yeah, if this is capitalism, let's try a little socialism if this is what capitalism is like, right?
Right.
All right. Thank you, honey. All right, the president was in Afghanistan.
I want to make sure that I could spend a little time this holiday with the men and women of the finest fighting force that the world has ever known. And that's all of you.
By the way, do you ever see pictures of him with the troops? I love how, you know, the Republicans are just that, like, that's a what do you call it? You know, it's some kind of universal truth.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the military hates him and whatever. They look seriously like it's Elvis. I mean, they love him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this myth that they don't want to overturn, don't ask, don't tell. But how much clearer could 70% be to you as to what the military wants? The president.
We said we were going to break the Taliban's momentum. And that's what you're doing. You're going on the offense. Tired of playing defense.
He also talked about the budget freeze and how it relates to the
military. You may have noticed that during these tough budget times, I took the step of freezing pay for our federal workforce. But because of the service that you render, all who wear the uniform of the United States of America are exempt from that action.
I just finished Frank Rich's column, and I have to say, Jim, I'm calling a freeze on a bipartisanship right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying I understood it. I've said this, you know, for the last 2 years. He ran on it. I understand that. Mm-hmm. This is what he won on, and I think he really believed it. But it just, I mean, Frank Rich is saying the same stuff that we've been saying. How disrespectful. When have you ever heard of the president asking for a meeting and Republicans saying, oh, yeah, we can't make that?
No, right. I got something
I mean,
else to do.
It's pretty clear
Well, they were sending him a message with that. Said, we have no respect for you. We're not going to compromise. We're not.
And so then...
We want you gone.
Yes. He has the meeting, reaches out again, tries to be conciliatory. You know how this is in your personal life, in any of your relationships. When you're trying to resolve something with somebody, you try not to attack. You try, even if you try to say something conciliatory or take some responsibility if you're trying to resolve an issue. And this is what he did. And then they immediately... How quickly did they come out with this stupid letter saying, we're not going to do anything? Here's what we want. I mean, it just, it really is. It just, it became like a hostage crisis. Yeah. And as Frank Rich said, it was like a hostage video. The president's like, they made him make this video. It's like, everything is fine. Everything is fine. My partisanship is going very well. I just, but you know,
we love TV night, Anthony.
You can't help but watch. The fact.
Real good.
What should tell you everything is what just happened in the Senate on the second vote this weekend. They offered—that is a compromise. They offered to raise it to $1 million. The Republicans still said, no, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
People making over $1 million need tax cuts as well. I mean, it just... Okay. Bristol Palin is striking back against my future husband, Keith Olbermann, for dubbing her worst person in the world. They're just a thin-skinned little family, aren't they?
They really are. We are not. Shut up.
It's a comedy feature he does for comics. Because he basically was talking about her doing the PSA for abstinence when she clearly is...
Not, yeah, wasn't abstinent.
A little bit of a...
Knocked up.
Yeah.
A little hypocritical.
Yes.
Well, abstinence for everyone else.
She also apologized for not being absolutely faultless like he undoubtedly must be. Yeah, you are. What am I?
Yeah, you are.
All like whatever, mom, and then I'm like, ah.
So she repudiated him.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
In fact, Aretha Franklin says her surgery was highly successful and thanks well wishers for their prayers. She didn't say what she was being treated for.
No. Well, she's canceled all of her appearances for a while.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was a success, so that's good news.
That's good news.
Don't ask what it was for. That would lack respect. Don't ask. She doesn't want to tell us, apparently. Madonna has a new boy toy. Damn it, I've never even found one. How does she keep finding them?
Because she's millions of dollars.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah.
She's not a has-been hack, elderly shut-in radio loser. 52-year-old Madge is dating 24-year-old somebody. I can't even ever pronounce her boy toys. Brahmin Zabit?
Who?
I don't know. Brahmin?
Is that who he is or what
everybody
he
does? Yeah.
He's no Jesus Luz.
Jesus.
He danced at one of her events in New York City. That's what you need to do. You need to schedule more events at which boy toys dance for me. He said,
Schedule your own damn events.
I performed a solo, he said to Material
I'm
Girl.
Sure he did.
Then I met Madonna on the sidelines. It wasn't like I'm meeting a monster. She's just a woman like all the others. Oh, that's very sweet. She's not a monster. What a sweet talker.
Oh, there are some pictures where she kind of looks monstrous.
More like Edgar Winter than anything. Not a monster.
Yeah.
Let's go
to
what?
She's not aging gracefully. Really.
Oh.
Jessica in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jess.
Hi. I'm sitting here with a stomach flu, but I had to call.
Ooh.
I am just, you know what, when are we going to chain ourselves to the White House?
Because all right, let's do it. I'm down with it, finally.
I keep hearing about, the tax cuts and blah, blah, and they don't understand. I'm like, oh, screw it. Let's just go ahead and chain ourselves to the White House, because what else is going to work with these morons, you know?
Yeah, I think the time has come to take a different approach. It's what's the definition of failure? It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Definition of insanity.
Definition of insanity.
Something. Frank in San Jose.
Yeah, Stephanie.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Mitch McConnell, as far as the tax cuts go, I just soon see them expire. I think that's the best thing for the country and for future generations.
Yep, call their bluff on tax cuts, on don't ask, don't tell.
And Mitch McConnell isn't waiting for the president to hand him the keys to the car. He's just ripping them out of the president's hands and laughing about
it. Well, but, Frank, it's like, Frank Rich was saying, even this budget freeze, it's like, yes, he intended it, as he always does, as bipartisan outreach. It ends up just looking weak. It's like he got nothing for it. And it's obviously a drop in the bucket in terms of the deficit. What would help is the $700 billion that we're about to hand to the extra wealthy, as usual. I've got to start drinking early. Okay. Oh, I might be doing a late edition of the Ed Schultz show tonight. We'll tweet you about it if I am.
Sure.
It's supposed to be a 6 p.m. Pacific show, and I will tweet you if I am, in fact, doing that. I don't even know what it's about. But I'm a media horse, so I'll be there. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Warden, and Miranda Moreno. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.